Today, and my scripture reading is in John. So let's go to John 4 and starting at verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle." Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give to me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words. Heavenly Father, we know from your word come all the answers to our questions in life. And Heavenly Father, we know that you have countless blessings for us that will obey your commands, listen to your voice, and do your will. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless these words and thoughts that we will bring. And Heavenly Father, help them to help each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask all these things. And amen. My text to you is the verse 39 of my scripture reading. And let's look at that together. the woman going back into the city in which she lived, Samaria. The woman went back to the city and shared her experience with a man of the city. And as she came to the city, her first words was, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done." This is not the Christ, is it? I think the woman at that point knew far more than these words suggest. My message to you today is, come, see a man. And I know if we will just know that there is a man who was sent from our loving Father God, our Heavenly Father. There is a man, His only begotten Son, who He gave so that each one of us might have that hope of eternal life. So that each one of us could have that choice to be a son or daughter of the Almighty God. Yes, He is our Father. He wants us to look at it just as we would our natural father or mother, with love and with compassion, knowing that His reaction to us and the things that we do or don't do is going to be very, very similar to that most of our mothers or fathers would do in the same circumstance. Our Father, Heavenly Father, Spiritual Father, He loves us. He cares for us. He's concerned for us more than we could ever know. More than our natural mother and father. He wants that personal relationship, that personal communication. He wants us to have that personal touch with Him every day of our life. These particular scenes take place in Samaria. And Samaria was an area of the country in Israel that for the Jews was a place that they tried to avoid. They didn't really want to go to Samaria because they had issues with the people there. Religious issues of all type. They wanted to avoid that area. Some would say that even Jesus knew the people of that area, and because of similar reasons, He avoided it. But He didn't on this particular time. There was a plan of God for Jesus to be there at that particular point in time. We find that Samaria is bordered on the west by the Mediterranean Ocean. It was bordered on the south by Judea and Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. It was bordered on the north by Galilee and the Sea of Galilee. Was bordered on the east by the Jordan River. That gives you a little bit of a location of that area that was notorious for the Jews wanting to have little or nothing to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus came there with His disciples, and Jesus was at the well. And the well was Jacob's well, the one that you read of in the account of Jacob. It was close to the modern city of Nablus. We want to examine this incident with Jesus, with the woman at the well. We might could even say that this woman had to be rather notorious herself because of her personal circumstances. But she knew that there was something different about this man as she encountered Jesus. She found out that this was a man who appeared natural, just as you or I would to her. But yet, this was a man who, even though he had never met her before, he knew her personal failures. He knew when he came in contact with this woman. He knew that she had made bad choices in life. He knew that she had failed many areas, that she was not even doing what she knew to do from a religious standpoint. And she did know some facts, some religious doctrines, some religious teachings. She was not ignorant in spiritual things, in doctrinal things. But she had made bad choices in life. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew it because he was the Son of God. Jesus knew it because he was not your normal man. And we all know that. He knew it because he was divine. He was the Son of the living God. He was sent to here to reveal his Father, God, to us so that we could have more of a meaningful relationship with God, so that we would know God better, what God is like. It was what Jesus was like. He had supernatural powers, even though in human form. He had supernatural powers. He knew not only her personal failures, very personal failures, but he also knew that even though this was the case, he knew of her religious insights. He knew that she was obviously a lost sheep, a straying sheep from the fold, religiously. She had lost her way. She was not living to the standard that she knew. She was lost in life. She was inactive in her experience with God, obviously. Jesus also knew that she had searched for many things, but she had not found that thing that was so important to her. That void that was missing in her life, she had searched, but she had not found that thing that satisfies the soul's longing, a thirst that only God could satisfy. Only God can satisfy that deepest search of your or my soul. This woman was obviously sad. She was weary. She was disappointed in life. And she was disillusioned with what life had brought to her and her reactions to it. She had not found what was missing and most needful in her life. When you read the details of her life, she had 5 husbands at the point Jesus met her at the well. Had had 5 husbands. And the one that she had now, at the present, was not her husband. Jesus knew this before, and he told her before she told him. That's why she knew there was something very different about this man, and she referred to him naturally as a prophet. So it was not the thrills, obviously, not the thrills of passion that she was searching for and had a thirst for that had not been quenched. Not the possession of material things. Only a touch from God could satisfy. Through His Son and His life and His words to her. She said, "He told me all things that I had done." Who could do that today? Could know your past. Could know what you've done and what you haven't done. Only the divine, Son of Almighty God, could know that. Hear for yourself and believe this is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. This is what the men of that city concluded after Jesus was asked to stay on a few more days and teach and preach to them. After the woman had witnessed to the men of the city, they wanted more. They wanted more of what they heard from this man. Come see a man who has an answer to every question in your life. A man in whom, when you find him, can quench your thirst, can satisfy your longing, give you what you need, fill the void that you feel in your life. It was by the word of Jesus Christ that these men were convinced this is the Messiah that has come to us. This is the Savior of the world. The very words that they used. This woman of Samaria heard His word and made her decision to open her heart and her mind. Her thirst would finally be satisfied. Notice in this account Jesus' approach to this woman that was to come to Him for a drink. To satisfy his thirst. He first approached the woman by asking a favor. He appealed to her kindness. Would you give me a drink? A natural request. Then, as she opened herself to him, he shared a little bit of God's word. He said, I've got water to give you, that once you drink thereof, you shall never thirst again. Obviously, it was spiritual truth that he was going to enlighten her with. A truth that would be satisfying to her, that would answer some of the questions of her life, satisfy some of the longing and desires in her life that had not been met. He let her know that the water that he had to give to her could lead her to eternal life. Eternal life in the family of God as a son or daughter. Just as you're hearing this morning, same to you. God wants you in His family. He wants you to make the ultimate decision to give up your life and the desires that you would naturally have for the life that He has for you. The plans that He has for your life. Why you're here. Why you're even sitting in church this morning. Why you were born. God wants you in His family. He wants you to obey Him. He wants you to help in His plan to bring others in also to His family. Jesus shared a little bit of this word of His Father's. And then the next approach of Jesus was to let this woman know of her sin. Her need for God. For her to be reminded, you're not where you ought to be. How many of us are like that? Straying as lost sheep away from the loving shepherd. Not where we ought to be in our relationship to God, in our service to Him, in our trying to be more like Jesus. She answered Jesus when He said, go get your husband. She answered Jesus, I have no husband. What do you think of that answer? It seems as if there's some little deception there. Five husbands, and the one that you now have is not your husband. He let her know. He knew what her life was like. He knew what she had done, her shortcomings, her failures, her distance from God, separation from God. Sin separates. And she was as a lost sheep, looking for her way home. God is the answer. Jesus and His life shows you the way and the answers to every question that you have. Jesus also, his next approach was that he knew of her knowledge of God, and she brought that in the open. And then Jesus explained to her, it's not important where you worship me. You know, she was concerned and caught up in a tradition of the Samaritans and probably most of the other people there, that they had their own prejudices about where you ought to go to worship God, either in the city of Samaria, which she was from, or from Jerusalem. But Jesus explained to her, that's not important. And then Jesus shared with her what was important. And that was that she come to the realization that God wants a personal relationship with us. Very personal. He wants us to seek Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To me, that's simply saying God wants you to search for the truth and obey the truth, obey Him. The truth is His Word. Find His truth. Then do His truth. Then worship Him and be sincere in spirit and in truth. To me, that's saying be joyful about your knowledge that you come across, the truth that He lets you see. Take excitement and enthusiasm in knowing that you have come into the truth of God and that you can now change your life and make it more like His. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And next, in Jesus' contact with this woman, He revealed Himself as the Messiah. I am He, when the woman says, we look for the one who is to come, the Messiah, that will show us all things. Jesus said, I am He. Jesus was satisfying the voids in that woman's life, the longing, the search, what was missing, what she had been searching for. And some of the mistakes that she had made in her life, natural mistakes, but the void that could be filled in her life could only be filled by the loving, almighty Father God. God is the answer to those things in our life that is most important to us, that we just can't seem to find. We can't get a handle on. We can't come across. We can't understand. They can only be satisfied by God coming into our heart and life and Him ruling and reigning and Him bringing His truths to us. That's satisfaction. That's the only real thing that can bring that peace and joy and completion to our hearts and lives. It was decision time for her. Jesus had brought salvation to her. Jesus said, I am the Savior of the world. What did she do? Just like what you or I would do. When God comes into our hearts and lives and everything becomes clear and meaningful, whereas it wasn't in the past. What would we do? We are excited and we want to go tell others of what Jesus had done. We want them to feel the joy and the peace and the voids to be filled in their life like it has been in ours. We want them to know. She shared the experience as she went back to the city of Samaria. And she testified of one who knows all. God the Father and Jesus Christ knows us better than we could ever imagine. Better than any other human, better than ourselves. Our Father knows all in our life, and He cares about what's going on in our life. And He's concerned. This Bible lets us know all of that. There's no doubt about it. She let these men know about the one who knows all. And the one who would be all they would ever need. He has the answers. He wants to be first in your heart and life. And lastly, this woman let the men know He not only had all that they need, but He would give to them all that they need. He will give to you all that you need in life. Finally, a result of this whole experience of this woman at the well, the word says, many believed in Samaria and that area. Many believed as a result of the experience and the testimony of this woman at the well. And of Jesus caring so that when asked by the city to stay longer and share more of His teaching and word and the truth, He said yes. And He stayed, and many believed. What about us? What experiences have we had? What testimony do we have that we can share with others? You know, if we haven't come to give our heart and lives to Jesus in the most personal way, and if we don't know the loving Father God as being in our heart and lives and caring for us, loving us, wants to bless us, God has all the blessings, and He wants to give them to you. But there's something to be done. You've got to open your heart and life to Him. You've got to be willing to do what He says, to obey Him, to learn of His truth, and follow Him in it. There is something to do. There is a cross to take up and follow Jesus. That's what He said to do. There's our personal cross to bear. It's all not going to be a bed of roses. It don't all change when you become God's child. Everything is not a bed of roses. Life brings us many circumstances, sometimes affliction, sometimes hardships. But you know what? God will always be there to help you through it. No matter what life brings to you, God will be with you, and we will see you through it. He doesn't leave you alone. He sends His Holy Spirit to be there with you every second, every moment of the day, to lead, to guide, to comfort, to instruct, to be your friend. We need more of God in our heart and in our life. Come and see a man who has everything that you need and wants you to have it and has already got His hand reached out. for you to take those gifts that are freely given from Him. If you would stand with me, and as we close, let's read the blessing of the Lord to each one of us, and our best blessing that we could bless each other with. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Amen. Bow with